Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
I don't know where Brett is. Yeah, I wonder if he forgot about this. Nope, not there. You know what? I forgot. Oh my gosh. Brett is in Japan. I totally forgot about that. I don't even know what I'm doing here. I don't even know why I hit record. So do I talk to myself? Because you can't high five.
Here I am. I'm here.
What?
Not in Japan yet. Well, what? In Japan when we release it, but here we are. Let's record.
You're here.
I'm here. Ready for the high five.
All right. Okay. Whew. I thought I was alone there for a minute.
You're not alone yet. You will be for a couple weeks a few days, but I'm still here.
Kind of scared about that. All right. Well, you're here. So let's kick off with the huddle.
Yes, sir. So what's my update this week? I wrapped up a huge project where we defined a new account management role, wrote the playbook for it, created a bunch of tools for it. It's like 90% of the way there, and now I'm going on vacation.
Good. You ought to retain all that by the time you get back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'll just be fresh.
I'd bring a new level of Japanese organization to it when I get back.
Go get condoed over there and come back.
There you go. On the same team side, I'm pretty excited about some of the new like content ideas we talked about and mapped out this week. So ready to write. How about you?
Totally. I'm pretty stoked about everything that we plotted out this week and kind of got through, and just the future. Ready to get started when you get back. So
you're just so bright, you gotta wear shades.
I know, might have to. So let's move into the review. You've got, and I cannot wait to talk about this, you came across an article, and we haven't talked about this yet, but we've read it. There, we actually may need to come back and, like, there's so much in this article, we may need to come back and talk about this a couple episodes.
I agree. Yeah, this was a pretty good find. So to kind of like set it up. So we, as in you and I, we've been talking a lot about kind of like decision making in some of our same team partners meetings. And so for me, over the past couple of years, I've worked with leaders, I would say, you know, agency owners, executives, people in operations as well, who I think have a hard time just making decisions, sometimes to a point where decisions linger uncomfortably within their leadership teams, with their employees, because words leaked out, like just things like that happen. So like after we talked, I kind of went on this like mini research spiral to kind of like help myself understand like, well, what was going on in those situations? Like, what do experts say about this kind of stuff that I can learn? So I found an interesting article on CFO.com, and it was published last summer. So I'm sure the numbers are not like totally up to date, but it was based on a small research study. Basically, the title of the article is "Only 36% of executives say their decision-making style aligns with the organization's." So headline does not really grab me that much, but like once I started reading, it was like really cool. It's a really good article. It provides some data based on a research project they did. I think it was like they surveyed like 400 people, 400 leaders. But it resonated with me, not in the part that I kind of set this up with about kind of like what I've seen with clients, but more in an experience that I had myself. So there's a quote in the article, I'm going to read it, where it says, "For CFOs who must often be the skeptic in the room, an organization disunited on goals and decision-making approaches can make allocating resources to people and technology while trimming in the areas deemed feasible to cut very difficult." So I shared that quote with you, and I said, so I'm not a CFO, never been a CFO, but I always seem to be the skeptic in the room. And you agreed. And so there is this time.
I see you.
Yeah, you see me, especially this week. Especially this week. So it kind of like hearkening back to an experience. Like there was a time when you lost your business, right? And when that happened, it felt like I needed to go, but I was trying to hang on. And I had to work with the leadership team to decide on layoffs. And you're still there.
No, for context, we both worked at the same company at the time. Yes. I was co-owner. You were a VP of project management. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So I left, which we can talk about in a second. Okay. So please continue.
So there was just like, there was disagreement, right? Like we had to work through layoffs. And I disagreed about who should be let go from my team, mm-hmm. given the circumstances. And my opinion as a part of that team, I was ignored. I felt ignored. And I had to let someone go. It was a terrible situation. After I let that person go, no one ever checked in with me about how that situation went. And it was fucking awful. So I left because I knew that there was no way that I would ever be able to align myself with what was happening with the value system that I kind of saw on display in those meetings with everyone under duress and like, you know, times past, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think like my decision-making style was maybe just like out of alignment with the groups. Like my opinion was way off, but I felt ignored. Anyway, I read this statistic in the article. More than one third of leaders surveyed said they resigned from a position because of their company's decision making, alongside another 29% who said they considered resigning for the same reason. So there's a lot more interesting points and angles in this article and data to support a lot of different conversations. But where I landed and what I want to talk about is my situation, I think. Like when you're mm-hmm. on a leadership team, and this could be, you know, erase the context of my story, on a leadership team of people, and you're out of alignment on a decision, like what do you do to get back into alignment?
Well, so in that same situation, as you recall, maybe 4 to 6 months before the story that you shared, we were in another meeting where we were meeting with all the leaders of the company that we worked with or worked for. And we were having a very difficult conversation on how we were going to cut costs because we had projects fall through. There's just, let's face it, a year of mistakes made that put us in a very perilous position that I wasn't aware of, but suddenly became aware of. And the decisions, the ideas that were being thrown around on how to save money, how to trim the company back where we could afford it and move forward, I was not in line with that whatsoever, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the like similar situation to yours, there were decisions being made that were kind of like off the cuff and more like a gut decision, wasn't based on expertise or data, right? And I recall looking at like what the plan was, and it's like, you know what, this isn't going to work. And as I recall, I may have this wrong, but as I recall, I brought that up. I tried to talk the leaders through like how this, I don't see how this is going to work, and offered a different plan, which I thought was a lot more viable, and almost across the board, except for I think you and one other person, like everybody said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do this other thing that's going to be, to me, much more treacherous and put us in a bad spot. And so I left, right? I don't know. I didn't see a way to hang on and to try to realign myself at that point. And it could be that there's just already so much damage done But at that point, I just saw some people that were incapable of making good decisions, and they weren't listening to reason. And at that point, I feel like there's nowhere to go but out, right? Yeah. In your situation, what really sucks, and I see leaders do this time to time, is they go with their gut instead of listening to the expert who's in charge, right? Like, you had leadership in that domain of the company that should have been your decision. And the only reason that the person above you, you know, could veto that is if they thought you were making a bad decision, right?
But I think it was a little more complicated. It was more wrapped up in, it was a little more complicated than that. I don't really want to get into the details.
Because, yeah, sure.
You know, somebody actually was hurt in this and like lost a job. But sure. I think what it comes down to is when you're at an impasse like that, does it make sense to just throw your arms up and go? I mean, that's what I did. And that's what really like kicked off my career that I have now, you know, like it helped me launch a book and a career as a consultant working with all these amazing companies. Like, I don't regret any of that. But when I look back on that, like, that is a very, it is a key memory for me in my career, because it felt a little bit like betrayal. And it felt a little bit like, not only are you wrong, you're going to go do this thing and nobody gives a shit about it. Like, just do it, you know?
Well,
so it just felt like not cool.
But staying, to me, staying is also like, that just not, to me, is not a wise decision unless you absolutely have to. And there's a lot of people that, you know, put up with a lot of bullshit because they kind of have to. But if you have the means, I mean, I know other leaders who, same thing, they got to an impasse, couldn't align, didn't like how decisions were made, let alone the decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's like two factors here. How are decisions made and what are the decisions? And I know several people who have just said like, I can't, life's too short.
Yeah,
I'm not going to work in this way. And so I think it's admirable that, you know, people try to turn things around, make things better, try to improve it. But, you know, if you're not getting along, it's
time
to jet.
It comes down to values also. And, you know, I've also worked with organizations where I don't agree with their values, and that's another reason to leave. But so many like kind of spiraling topics here, we should probably move on, right?
Yes.
We'll come back to it maybe another time. We can definitely come back to that article like 7 more times.
yep.
Let's get into the hit list. What do you got first?
So I have came across a book this week recommended to a mutual friend of ours, Luke Dorney, maker of fine skateboards and art, lukedorney.com. Luke was sharing with me that he had found a book called The Courage to Be Disliked by Ichiro Kishimi. I hope I pronounced that right. And it's an interesting book of, you know, I think the title speaks for itself. The book is really interesting in that it's a narrative. It's a story, a conversation between this kind of philosophy master and a young person. And so it's just a conversation. It almost reads like a script, right?
Oh, cool.
And it reads quick. And I'm looking forward to diving more into like from where I am.
Cool.
How about you?
So my first one is actually going to be two, because there's a little bit of a journey for me. So I follow Medium. I get the digest emails and I'll click on them every once in a while. Mm-hmm. It started with this article, How the Modern World Changed Your Body. And it's all about how, you know, our, even like our grandparents' bodies were like in different shape than ours, from like your teeth to your jaw to your vision, just how like we are adapting to things. So really interesting. And when I was reading it, was thinking, hey, going to Japan, and this is a really long flight, probably should bring a book. And I got this book, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, when I spoke at a conference a couple years ago, and it's been on my bookshelf and I've been wanting to read it. It's basically like where we started, where we're going, and how we are, like how we got where we are as humans. So kind of interesting.
Just a little light reading for the vacation, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, 14 hours, 28 hours of flying.
Oh, so, my God, that book is huge.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one, a good read, hopefully.
Jeez. All right. Well, my next one is, I was thinking about some of the tools they use, and I don't think I could live on this planet very much longer if I didn't have the app called Bear. I don't know how you call it, like a note-taking, a writing, a journaling app. It's actually what Apple Notes became before Notes was a thing, you know, so you can put in hashtags, you can create taxonomy with your notes or with all your notes with you can save content to it, save links, all that kind of stuff. And it's fast, it's beautiful, it's simple to use, it works great on macOS, iOS, and iPadOS. So I like it too, because it's, like I said, simple. It's not Obsidian. It's not a whole big system that you got to learn all the keystrokes and everything. Cool. Very quick, very fast to use.
I'll check it out. So I just clicked on the note, the link, and we'll put it in the show notes. My next one is Listening. So Tiger's Blood by Waxahachie. Not sure if you're aware of her, but really like this album. It's a little country folk kind of. Her last album came out during COVID and was definitely one of my most listened to, like to the point where like my kids hear this woman's voice and they're reminded of COVID and quarantine. They don't like it. But I love it. So check it out.
All right. Well, my last thing is, and I know you're gonna crack up laughing, but I bought the ICC Team of the World baseball cap for the T20 Cricket World Cup. And it's bright. It's got all the logos of all of the teams that are participating, all the nations. Some folks, maybe many folks, think it looks ridiculous. I think you may have made a comment like that too. I'm wearing it now. I don't care.
Greg,
it's cool.
Tell everyone about your special hat.
My special hat makes me feel special, but it's sold out. I knew this hat would sell out when I saw it. It's gonna go on my bookcase.
I wonder what the quantity for a sellout on the cricket audience is.
Well, I mean, there's millions.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Who's I don't your know. Team? That's a good question. My team? It's your team. Team USA. Unless let's see, what are you? Are you Ghana? Are you?
I'm USA. I'm USA. Okay. Right. I'll high five on USA also. Let's move on to the high five. What are you high fiving this week?
The test batch of our first product has been manufactured. It is on a truck to Tacoma. So about the time that this episode drops, I should have it in my hot hands. I will send you photos, over text. I'm excited. It's been a long time since I've made a physical thing, and super excited to get this in the hands of some folks to go the second round of tests.
Yes, sir. Awesome.
Yeah.
My high five is for time off and fresh starts. I'm like so ready to just step away from this screen for a couple of weeks and only look at my little screen.
Just kidding. And
no,
and
to like
your
look up at the world.
100 page
honestly.
Book. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll look at that too. But yeah. And then
are
I'm
going to
like,
see Mount Fuji.
Yes, I will see Mount Fuji.
Nice. You probably can't miss it, right?
Doubt it.
All right.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
All right. Well, high five. Have a good week.
High five. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Beth and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.